Well, this was supposed to be a surprise, but then someone had to play the music. But in truth, I'm not only surprised, I'm just amazed to see so many friends and people who have been connected to this church through the years, and also my colleagues and from the synagogue, from the musical world. It's incredibly gratifying, and I am very deeply thankful to all of you. A life immersed in music is a blessing. And to be able to give some of that back is a double blessing. I want to give thanks to, if I can quote Dan Ivins, y'all, for having the vision, long before I came here, to have the vision of a dual ministries of word and music. That's a marriage, which is the foundation for a faith community. And a faith community that's Christ-centered builds on that marriage, that foundation. And what a privilege it's been for me to work with so many great preachers that have filled these walls, who were also not only wonderfully skilled orators, but also beautiful human beings and incredible pastors, right up till now in the present. What could be more gratifying than that? 30 years is supposed to be a long time, but my friends, it has gone so quickly, as the Bible says, in the fleeing of an eye. I remember, since such anniversaries are a time to reflect, I remember my interview with Dwight Lundgren and the deciding factor to come here was based on these words that he spoke to me. That as the leaders of the church, that we set an example and try to walk the path of discipleship and then invite others to walk with us. And those were beautiful words that captured my heart and soul. And I said, yes, here is a place that I could be. And so since then, I've been walking and inviting. And I'm so pleased that so many of you have joined on that path. We call it seekers, but it's oh so much more than that. Music conveys the word and often pairs with words, but music also can go to that place deep in the heart that where words cannot go, beyond where words can go. My teacher, I had two wonderful Russian masters, from the one I learned fire and from the other grace. And my beloved Nadia Reisenberg said, never waste a note by merely playing it. That every single note should be a carefully crafted gem of impeccable beauty and meaning. Every single note. I like to carry that thought in all the music that I play, sing, direct, think about, teach. I like to think of the meaning behind the words. Often it's stories. Much of the music we do here connect me to events significant to the life of this church or significant to my own life. Behind them are stories that connect to people who have mentored or journeyed along the path, who've been instrumental in helping mold and shape who I am, and in turn, also who we are as a community, a corporate community. So many pastors here have told me that while I'm up there, that they see the joy on the faces of so many congregants when the choir does well. And the choir does well an awful lot of the time. I'm so proud of them. Eric Routley called that joy being lit up. He was a great hymnist and hymn writer, preacher, musician, scholar. He was so many things. And I remember him saying, and it was as if he was looking right at me when he said it, a good church music lights people up. I like to think that when we're lit up, we can live what we sing and go out into the world and make a difference. That our songs, in fact, can help give us a glimpse of the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I'm mindful of one of the people whom I greatly admire is the jazz great Herbie Hancock. Dr. Hancock has served as cultural ambassador in both Republican and Democrat administrations. And Madeleine Albright, Condoleezza Rice, Bill Clinton have all commented that 5 days of jazz broke down more cultural barriers than 10 months of negotiations and diplomatic wrangling. That was Herbie Hancock, a man whom I admire. This really is a surprise because I haven't really prepared anything. So this is the surprise part of it. I knew there would be one. I experienced a bit of that cultural diplomacy. I guess actually a lot of it as I reflect. In the 70s and 80s, touring for UNESCO and with Sarah Lawrence, and in the 80s and 90s, with the American Wind Symphony. I got to be a part of that cultural ministry around the world. And I remember conducting the Russian and American Orchestra joint performance in what was then Leningrad in the October Hall. There's a picture of my bald head up in my office conducting that group. And afterwards, I was asked to give a speech. I had no idea that any of that was going to happen. And it was translated on the spot. Well, you know, I love to walk. And the thing that impressed me about the city of, beautiful city of what is now St. Petersburg, were all the bridges. And so I spoke about building bridges, bridges of hope, trust, between peoples who can share music. And I'm very grateful to this church for allowing me to go on all those jaunts when I was just a new employee. You were very kind to allow me months off at a time to go tootling about the world. I would like to think that I've brought something back from that experience, that some of the notes that have resounded in this hall have shared some of that purpose and bridge building, the hope and the love that's behind all of that music. I'm thankful to you also for supporting my teaching ministry here. While I've been 30 years here, I've been more than 40 years at Rhode Island College. Other institutions as well, by extension, but not nearly the length of time that I've served that institution. Also 6 years with the American Wind Symphony. So many of those young people have come here, played these instruments, read some of the mess that's in my office. You know, people say you're going to clean it up. Well, you know, an unshelved and open book is an idea that's still germinating. So I don't put them away. I leave them out because they're still ongoing. So, there you go. I spoke some words here a few years ago about dreaming. And I think those words are still appropriate today. I'm going to read just the last bit of that. It said, use the music to find your dreams. Take a favorite passage of Scripture and let it speak to you through the music. Here are some of my favorites. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, Psalm 96. It's a Christian hymn, and it's also part of the high holiday service during in the synagogue. Psalm 8. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Or the beautiful vision of the holy city where God will wipe away every tear. My goodness, when my little friend read that this morning, I was in tears. Couldn't even start the next piece without getting myself in control. You know, I love the young people. I love to see them here. Young people of any age, even my age, I refuse to grow up. From Matthew, come to me all who are weary, and I will give you rest. People say, do you worry about burning out? I don't. Because when I am working, I am at peace in my heart. I love what I do. I thank and bless all of you for giving me the opportunity to do it. And for as long as I'm able to do it reasonably well, I hope to continue if you will so allow me. I close that sermon saying, reflect on the scripture of your choice while the child in you dreams. I also said that I'm not so eloquent up here. I do a better job over there. So I'm going to offer the offering. When Brahms wrote this piece in 1893, and I often talk about it to my music theory classes, it was an experiment in music theory that envisioned the next 100 years of music into our own time. I can't think of a better offering to make as we look forward to the next 100 years. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.